Good morning. Can y'all hear me okay? No, you can't. I think when I was leaning down reading, you couldn't hear as well. Well, happy Mother's Day. For those that don't know, I'm not the regular pastor. I have never done this before. So I've had a lot of folks praying for me this week. Well, we are so blessed to be here. And what a blessing our children's choir was this morning. They sang that God is the perfect parent, and that every parent here is God's earthly choice to be the parent to raise them up the way that they should go. God's hand is and has been at work in picking out our family trees. And the story of Ruth is just the perfect example of this. God picked Ruth and Boaz to be the parents of Obed. God planned that Naomi would be Ruth's mother-in-law and Obed's grandmother. God planned that Ruth would be King David's great-grandmama. God had it all planned out. Now, sometimes I say that God has things choreographed out, that we just need to get us a big old bowl of popcorn and a big Coke and sit back and watch. Things start happening. And saying luck and coincidence just doesn't cut it, because you can see God's hand in it. Hollywood forgets him at the Oscars, but let's face it, God is the best director and choreographer. So, back to our story. Naomi was Ruth's mother-in-law. Now, Naomi was from Bethlehem, but Ruth was from Moab. All through the book of Ruth, she is called Ruth the Moabite. So the folks of Moab weren't really the best folks. Y'all may remember the story of Balaam and his talking donkey. Y'all remember that one? You know, we're going to have to cover that in Sunday school soon. That's a story from the book of Numbers. The king of Moab hated the Jews, and Balaam was a prophet. And the king of Moab got Balaam and told him to pronounce a curse on the Jews. But God is the best director. And every time Balaam opened his mouth to pronounce a curse, instead, Balaam pronounced a blessing on the Jews. And boy, did that make the king of Moab mad. But anyway, so Moab was not the place that we would think a family from Bethlehem would want to be. So how did all that happen? A famine. God sent a famine. And Naomi, her husband, and their two sons moved to Moab to find food. We're not sure when the famine in the Bethlehem area lifted, but Naomi did not hear about it until after her husband and both sons had died. One of the sons had been married to Ruth for 10 years. So that's how Naomi came to be Ruth's mother-in-law. Pretty cool, huh? So how does God work it out that Ruth would want to leave her family, her religion, her homeland, and go back with Naomi to Bethlehem? Well, he had been working and directing on this for at least 10 years. And actually, he'd been working this out a long time. Okay, ladies, y'all all listening? Let's raise your hand if you have ever opened your mouth and heard your mother come out. Okay, I'm right there with you. Now, husbands, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because we know they would all go up. But you think about how many times you have wanted to say, and hopefully you did not say it, you are just like your mother. Because if you did say it, probably in your early marriage, you found out that for some reason that makes us mad. I haven't figured out why that makes us mad. It shouldn't make us mad. God handpicked our mothers for us. So we should just pretend we're Elvis and say, thank you. Thank you very much. So anyway, back to our story. Naomi must have been just the best mother-in-law. And how much of this was from how her mother was, or her grandmother, or maybe her mother-in-law, we just don't know. We'll have to wait and ask her when we get to heaven. But Naomi was loved by both her daughters-in-law. And they both wanted to go back with her to Bethlehem. Naomi loved them too, but Naomi thought it would be best for them if they stayed in Moab and went back to their families and married again. One daughter-in-law went back, but Ruth vowed to stay with Naomi. So what about Boaz? What do we know about Boaz? Well, he's a Jew that was living in Bethlehem. So we already know there wasn't a good history between the Jews and the Moabites. In fact, there's not a good history between the Jews and a whole list of others. Okay, let's step back a minute. Y'all remember the Battle of Jericho? Well, Joshua sent spies who would have been caught except for Rahab, a prostitute, hid them. And then when Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, Rahab hung a red rope out her window, and everyone in her house was saved. Well, Rahab wasn't a Jew. So what does this have to do with our story? Guess who Boaz's mama was? That's right. Rahab, a Canaanite. And we find that out in the New Testament when Matthew lines out Jesus' family tree from Abraham all through King David. Anyway, so who better to be accepting of Ruth the Moabite than Boaz, someone whose mother was Rahab the Canaanite? So we can see God is handpicking the cast and directing all this. Now back then, God had given the Jews laws about taking care of the widows and the poor. One of the laws was that the landowners were not supposed to gather everything when they gathered their harvest. They were supposed to leave behind some for the poor to gather. So that was one of God's ways of taking care of the poor. And God had another law about widows who didn't have children. The family of her husband was basically supposed to provide her with another husband, usually the husband's brother. The new husband was called the kinsman redeemer. And these laws were taken seriously. Okay, so let's step back a minute. There's a story back in the Bible about a lady named Tamar. Her husband died, and his brother wouldn't marry her, so God struck him dead. Well, that's the short version. The real long version is way juicier than that, but that's the short version. So guess what? I bet you've guessed it already. Guess who is in Boaz's family tree between him and Abraham? Yep, that's right, Tamar. So if you've got that story in your family tree, you're going to take that law particularly seriously. So at this point, God's handpicked the cast. We've got Naomi, we've got Ruth, and we've got Boaz. And then, action. Naomi and Ruth arrive back in Bethlehem right as the barley harvest is beginning. Ruth ends up working in whose field? Boaz's. Boaz notices Ruth. Word has gotten around, and Boaz has already heard about how kind Ruth has been to Naomi. Boaz is a relative of Naomi's husband. So Naomi figures that Boaz is going to be the kinsman redeemer. So Naomi sends Ruth to basically propose to Boaz. So at this point, we're thinking fairy tale ending, right? But wait. Boaz wants to marry Ruth, but he's not the closest relative. Oh no! So there's this big cliffhanger at the end of chapter 2. The very next morning, Boaz goes to the town gate. And guess who comes walking by? Bet you can't guess. That's right. It's the nameless dude who is closer in line to be the kinsman redeemer. I just love it when the Bible doesn't tell us the name of the man. I mean, we've got all these stories like Mrs. Noah, where we don't know the woman's name. So here's one where we don't know the guy's name. Anyway, so not only does Mr. Nameless Dude come walking by just at the right time, but there happen to be 10 of the elders of the town that Boaz gets to sit down. Okay, I'm seeing God doing some great choreographing right here. So in front of these 10 witnesses, Boaz tells Mr. Nameless Dude that Naomi is going to sell the land that belonged to her husband. And that since Mr. Nameless Dude is the closer relative than Boaz, he gets first dibs on being the kinsman redeemer. And that if he doesn't, then Boaz will be next in line. So guess what Mr. Nameless Dude says? He says, "I will redeem it." Oh no, that's not what we wanted to happen. But then Boaz tells him it's a package deal. Whoever is the kinsman redeemer and redeems the land also gets Ruth the Moabite to be his wife. So Mr. Nameless Dude changes his mind right then and there in front of the 10 witnesses. And Boaz becomes the kinsman redeemer. Ruth and Boaz get married, and they have a son, Obed. And then Obed is the father of Jesse, who's the father of David, who was King David. So how cool was that? God knew and planned it all out that Tamar and Rahab and Ruth were going to be in the family tree of King David and of Jesus' parents. God had a plan for their lives, and he choreographed it all out. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he has a plan for our lives. Okay, I know sometimes we can feel like he has said action, and I know a lot of busy moms feel like that. You're running from here to there, rushing to soccer games, band concerts, grocery, doing the laundry, helping with homework. But we've got to take the time to sit back with the popcorn and the Coke and look at how God is choreographing it. Look at our lives. Look at who God has brought into our lives, our mothers, our children, our family, and our friends. Look at all our blessings and thank God for them. Amen.